Our scripture reading today is from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we see that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. We are in the season of Easter, and Easter isn't just one day, it is a season, and there will be 6 weeks, so it will go through May 10th, and the lectionary goes through the first letter of John, and that's kind of an obscure book, and I don't know if some of you may not even have read 1 John. It's towards the end of the Bible, it's just before the book of Revelation, there's three letters in a row. So, I will be covering that letter over the next few weeks, and it kind of lends itself to expository preaching, which I don't do too often, but I think I'm going to do that at least for today, sort of go verse by verse and sort of go through that. It's traditionally believed that John wrote the Gospel of John in the year 80, and then there's those three letters I talked about that he wrote from like 80 to 94. And then the final one is the book of Revelation. John wrote that one as well in about the year 95. So you get about 15 years where you see John's writing and what is going on during that time. So we get an idea of what is going on in the early church. And first and foremost, this letter is a very positive letter. He starts out proclaiming the good news, but then he'll go on to mention a few things that the church might not be doing so well. So he begins by saying, we declare to you what was from the beginning, that we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So right off the bat, John wants us to know that this isn't something that John and the disciples simply made up. Jesus is the incarnate word of God. He is God made flesh. And there were many in John's day that claimed to have been there, but were in fact not there at all. They might have, thought somebody was there, and they said something, and then they repeated it, and by the time it gets, around, it's kind of distorted. And these little groups were popping up that were really a distortions of the truth. And that's something we still have to deal with today. There's things that go on where people will say something that's maybe kind of a half-truth or just a complete fabrication. Just this past week, I think Rolling Stone had to retract an entire story about the University of Virginia. There was a supposed rape that had taken place there, and it was a big story, but it turned out it was completely false. It was just made up. But they didn't check anything out, and they just went with it. So these things still go on, you know, just like they were back in John's time. They go on now. So he was trying to make sure that they knew that he actually was there, and he saw Jesus, and he heard what he had to say, and he saw him and touched him with his hands. Jesus was real. He was there, and they want everybody to know that, and this word comes to us today, and he wants us to know that today, that he actually saw these things. He says this life was revealed, and we have seen and testified to it, and declare to you eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. This eternal life was hidden in the Father, and it was with the Father from the beginning. It was the eternal Word of God. And this Word was made flesh and has dwelt amongst us, and in this Word, Jesus Christ, is revealed eternal life to us this day. John says, we declare that what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So John says, we want to proclaim the good news so that you may have fellowship with us. But he was very careful to say that it wasn't about simply John and his disciples. Because like I said, back in their day, little cults were popping up who claimed to be with Jesus and had some words from Jesus, but they weren't Jesus' words at all. They were words they were making up. And they're developing a following. And that still happens today. We see that from time to time where these cults pop up and they claim to be, you know, usually it's about the end of the world or something, and they've interpreted Revelation in this way, and the end of the world's next week or whatever. Those things pop up. But they're fabrications. They're not the real thing. And that's what John was trying to dispel here. He was saying, we have seen Jesus, but it's not about us. So he's very careful to say this fellowship is not about me, it's not about the disciples, it's about Jesus Christ. And I think that's what we have to be all about here. It's not about me, it's not about some particular group. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ and other people's relationship with Jesus Christ and building that relationship. And that's what we are all about. He goes on to say, we are writing these things that our joy may be complete. And I thought that's kind of interesting, that their joy is complete by proclaiming these things. And I think that is something that God calls us to do, is proclaim the good news. And that makes our joy complete. We hear the good news, we're in a relationship with Jesus, that brings us joy. But to make that joy complete, it has to move beyond us and out to others. And how we live our lives, how we talk, how we conduct our lives, that makes a proclamation. So whether we think so or not, we are proclaiming something. So we probably best be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ through our words and through our actions, and make sure that what we do is in line with that. There's this old saying that you may be the only Bible that somebody reads, you know. If they see you there, and they know you're a Christian, they're going to see how you conduct your lives. And so that is very important, that we make our joy complete by proclaiming the good news. He says, this message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no sin. And we often hear today that God is somehow the source of sin, but God is not the source of sin. There are atheists who pose the question, you know, if God is all-powerful and he's all-good and he's all-knowing, why is there evil and suffering in the world? Somehow, if God is God, then he's behind that somehow. It would probably take a series of sermons to go through all that, but I'll simply say today that God created this world in freedom, and it's a dynamic freedom. He's given us a lot of freedom in this world, and God isn't the source of sin. We are the source of sin. We are the ones who sin. And that is something that we have to struggle with and wrestle with. But that doesn't mean that God sits on the sidelines. You simply look at the Gospels. Look at Easter season. What does it mean? That God became one of us. He died on the cross for us. And God is redeeming this world. He is redeeming all things. And he says, I'm the source and I'm the love and I'm the hope of this world. And I'm the judge of this world. And there will be a day of judgment. And on that day, Jesus will judge the world because all things have been turned over to him. So there will be that day of judgment. And all this will be set right in God's time. If we say we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he is himself in the light, we have fellowship with him and with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So I go through all this, and what is John really trying to say here? So let me kind of try and use an illustration here to help convey what John is saying. Late Thursday afternoon, I decided that I was going to check the sprinkler system, just to put it in a little test mode, just to make sure that everything worked okay, you know, and I figured it'll probably work fine. It's late in the afternoon. I'll just set it up, run it through the test mode, and just make sure everything's working. I turn it on, zone one, everything works fine, the little spigots pop up, everything's getting watered really good. It goes to the next zone, and there's just these little spurts. Nothing's coming out of the ground, except over here, it's like water's just oozing out of the ground. And I'm going, oh no. And then switched out of that zone to another one, same thing. Big oozing water coming out of the ground. The other spigots, there's nothing. And it does that for the rest of the zones. So I go out there and I stick my hand in the first oozing zone and I pull this out. And I'm thinking that this probably should be connected to something. This isn't good. I shouldn't be able to pull this out of the ground. So that was a clue that that's not good. I went to the second one, and I pulled this out of the ground. I'm thinking now, I think there should be something coming in here and going in here, and one of these should be sticking up here, and this is all I have, so that's not good. And they were all like that, and I looked, and I thought to myself, and I thought, I'm going to do what any good husband would do at this point. I shut the system down, and I went and played hockey. Now, I know that the guys here can understand this because we need to ponder things. We can't just jump into things and try to fix it. We got to step back for a few minutes. We got to gather our thoughts. So I left and I went and gathered my thoughts and played some hockey. And once my senses got to me and I got in the car to head back home, I went immediately to Home Depot because I knew I was in over my head. I had no idea what I needed to do. I needed to go seek the help of somebody who knew what they were doing. So I went to Home Depot and he said, here's what you need, here's all the parts, here's the glue and this and that, have at it. And I fixed some of it, not all of it, but I fixed some of it and I hope to be able to fix the rest of it this week. But there was a sermon I had a few weeks ago about planting seeds, and we are to plant seeds in this world. You know, that's God to sow the seeds. And Paul says that sometimes you come along and you have to water. And God is the one who makes things grow, but you might have to water it a little bit. So if we're like this system that I have at my house, which is now pretty much useless, the grass isn't growing. It's growing pretty good here in zone one. Everything's growing great. And here, it's like the Dust Bowl. The grass is dead. There's one really wet spot, but that's not good either. And that's how the whole yard was. So we have to make sure that our system is working properly. And God is like this, the Holy Spirit is like this living water that goes through us. And to be complete, we have to then water the things around us to help them grow. And if we're not working properly, if we got things going on here, if we're dabbling in the darkness here, if we're sinning there, it just doesn't work right. And if we don't tend to that, it's going to be like this. It's going to be all shattered and broke apart and nothing will work. And we're human. Those things happen. Things break. We break. We sin. That's what John is saying here. But he's also saying that you have an advocate in Jesus Christ that will help you in those things, far more knowledgeable than some guy at Home Depot. He can fix everything, you know? And that's what he is there for. He is our advocate. These things happen. We are sinners. But he helps us. He is our advocate, and we can turn to him and be healed and be freed from those things that bog us down and prevent us from being God's people in the world. So he helps keep those things running for us, and we are called to do that. John goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, there is no truth in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does, you have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but it's not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. We can't live our lives fully in one world. We can't live in the darkness and say, it's all good because ultimately I'm dwelling in the light anyway. God says you can't do that. We also can't deceive ourselves by saying, I spend all my time in the light. I am a Christian. I don't do anything wrong. I'm perfect. Everything's great. We're deceiving ourselves by saying that as well. What this season of Easter is all about, what this resurrection season is all about, it means that we are in the process of being transformed. We are being transformed from the children of darkness into the children of light. And we not only have the writings of John that tell us that, but we have the entire Bible that tells us that. That is what the Bible is trying to tell us. And John wrote these words in the year 85, and the other writers were doing the same thing. And they wrote these things so that we may not sin. That's what John says. These are here for you so you may not sin. They wanted us to know the truth. And we have the truth in the Scriptures. But if we do sin, and we will, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one. And he died not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church of Ephesus, he wrote them a letter and he said, by grace you have been saved. Now those words weren't simply for the church in Ephesus. Those words are for us here today. Paul's saying, by grace you have been saved. But those words aren't only for us. These words are in the Bible. It is God's word, and it's God's word to his world. He is proclaiming these words to his world. He's saying, by grace you have been saved. All you have to do is believe. Believe it and trust in me. And it is so, because he said that Jesus has died for the whole world, the sins of the world. He's raised from the dead. Believe. That's all we have to do is believe. And when you do begin to believe, you're transformed from the children of darkness into being children of the light. Amen.